My name is Kermit, and I'm an addict.
I'm
clean today through the grace of God and Narcotics Anonymous. It says, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. And people, I've seen a lot of people getting lost with that, and I was lost with it, you know. If we elect people to an area service committee and they all sit around in a group, is that a group conscience? Doesn't say that here. It says for our group purpose. Doesn't say for our area purpose, our regional purpose, our world purpose. You know, I've seen group opinions, just like the other people shared, and I think they're real dangerous. I've participated in some of them. You know?
No.
Me? There's something that, I don't know where they hit it in this one. They change these basic texts so much you can't tell where anything is. But my sponsor talked to me about integrity, and that's one of the reasons why I asked him to be my sponsor, as he shared a new concept with me that was kind of a higher level from where I am and something I want to strive for, you know, because I first came in and learned about honesty. And willingness and open-mindedness. And then I became kind of willing to be kind of honest and kind of open-minded. And he asked me to read about our symbol in the basic text. And I got down to the bottom line here. And it says, goodwill is best exemplified in service. And proper service is doing the right thing for the right reason. And I think that's real important, you know. I look at the groups and the areas. We went up to a workshop last weekend before. And on the way, there was two other people with me, and we sat and we read the service manual. To familiarize ourselves with everything and to help these new people see what we were going to talk about when we got up there. And it talked about GSRs, which we have. And then it talked about GSR alternates. We don't have too many of those. Talked about secretaries. We don't have too many of those. Talked about treasurers. We hardly have any of those. You know, talk about ASR alternates. I don't know who our ASR alternate is. You know, when you sit around and talk about a loving God as he expresses himself, when you talk about our leaders are but trusted servants, and you elect them and you go ahead and serve, you know, it fosters an attitude of they'll do it. I just go to these meetings. They'll do that. They'll provide the chips. They'll provide the literature. They'll provide the coffee. You know, I just go to these meetings. You know, they'll do it. And through somebody sitting around saying they'll do it, newcomers come in and they say, well, how does it work here? And he says, oh, they'll do it. You know? They won't do it. You know, I do it. I get someone to help me. It gets done. You know? That's why we don't have a lot of GSR alternates in our area. That's why we don't have any treasurers. You know? That's why we don't have individual treasury, individual checking accounts for each group, because they're autonomous. They're supposed to be individual entities to themselves, which means they have their own checking account and their own secretary and their own treasurer. But they'll do it. No. About 6 months ago, I went to a meeting in another part of the state where they talked about they're going to have an intergroup meeting. We don't have intergroup. Another fellowship has intergroup, but we don't have intergroup. We have area service meetings. What was going on in that area was that there was about 14 meetings and two GSRs. They'll do it. You know. And we shared our experience, strength, and hope about commitment. You know, about dedication. You know, about what commitment to Narcotics Anonymous has brought in other areas of our lives. And the discussion of they'll do it. You know. And these people got together and formed an area. And for the last 2 years, nobody's heard anything about them. And they're our newest area. You know, they're a real strong area. They may be going through some troubled times at the moment. But they're also hosting the next state convention. And that's what happens when you stop getting, they'll do it. We'll do it. You know? We'll do it. And that's exciting, you know. It says, you know, that there's a lot of conversations on the world level and the regional level and the area level on what's the difference with trusted servants. Are they trusted or are they servants? You know? And, you know, I've heard a lot on both sides. One side says, you know, we need to trust our trusted servants so that we don't do everything on the group level. So that a group is a place where an atmosphere of recovery can happen. So that we're not spending a lot of time on all this business stuff. It's an interesting point. I've heard the other side say that our leaders are but trusted servants. They're servants, and we trust them to serve. And if they ain't serving, we don't trust them anymore. And let's get them out and get someone else who wants to serve. You know? Why is that important? Because it's our fellowship. It's not theirs. You know? And the more people who serve are the more people who become a part of rather than apart from. You know? I've served Narcotics Anonymous since I came in. I've also governed it a whole lot. But that made me feel a part of, and it's made me want to stick around. And it's made me give a damn about Narcotics Anonymous. And it's made me give a damn about what's going on. And it's made me give a damn about my life. You know? I think it's real dangerous when we say they'll do it. You know? Because that means that we don't have to. And it means that it's their program. And we'll do whatever they say. Thank you.
Thank you, Kermit. Anybody like to share? I'd like for you, if we can, to keep it down to a couple of 3 minutes. Get to three or four people so we can get to tradition three, because we're going to have to break up in a little bit, okay?
My name's Paul, and I'm a recovering addict here, to the grace of God.
Hi, Paul.
And, what I got out of this is I see the traditions as the 12 steps are for the individual, like the traditions are the 12 steps of, you know, for NA as a whole. And basically the second tradition is like turning NA's, you know, will and life over to a power greater than itself. And I liked what Greg and Marty had to say about, you know, this. I truly believe that an individual, you know, in order to, like, to work the tradition, should have, you know, some working knowledge of the steps. Because, you know, I've been around for 8 years, and I got 4.5 years recovery time, and, you know, 2.5 years of that time. In 2.5 years of that time has been in NA, and
right.
You know, and I wouldn't give you my first 2 years, and I wouldn't trust me, you know, with the trusted position, because like I didn't have no concept of God and a higher power, and like Marty was talking about, I was one of them people that would go in and is like, what can I get out of it? You know, I was one of them people that was fully fully self-supporting to your contributions. You know, I would go in and, you know, I literally took, if you don't got it to give, take. And I took. And it wasn't until I started working on the 12 steps. And this is just my opinion. There's a lot of things that were said that I wanted to reflect on. I like to talk about our area. I think it's beautiful. We have a lot of problems, but it's growing. We went from about 17 groups 2 years ago to about 72 groups. You know, right. In the past 2 years. Yeah. And believe us, there's with that many groups, there's a lot of, you know, conflict. And, you know, and I think these traditions are important. We got a lot of people running around. It's like, I like what it said. You stole what I wanted to read about. We must be constantly on guard that our decisions are truly an expression of God's will. There is often a vast difference between group conscience and group opinion as dictated by powerful personalities or popularity. Some of our most painful growing experiences have come as a result of decisions made in the name of group conscience. You know, we got a lot of people that come in and say, you know, somebody will raise their hand and say, yeah, I think this is the way it should be. And everybody goes, yeah, he's got a Mercedes, he must be right. You know, he dresses fine, he must be right. And there was a lot of that shit going on in our area, but, you know, it's starting to clear up. And I think the traditions, especially the first and second, are really important, you know. I don't really know that much about the traditions, and that's why I'm here, because I want to get to know them better. You know, they don't only apply to the groups, but they apply to each individual. And, you know, I'm here to learn, and I'm open, and I enjoyed hearing the three speakers, what they shared. You know, I got a lot of growth and a lot of spirituality out of that. You know, it isn't, you know, some people come in and they think it's about getting a car and getting a job and getting an apartment and getting a wife and whatever, and that makes them well, you know. And what makes us well is like how we grow up together and share in love. And I wouldn't have my time, you know, if it wasn't for you. For 6 years I ran around without a God, and that was the thing that kept me alive. You know, that was the thing that kept me alive, because he worked with you people, telling me to keep coming and keep coming. You know, so remember that. The traditions are important. Thank you.
Who's next on the agenda?
Yeah, my name's Andy. I'm an addict.
Hi, Andy.
Yeah, I'm from the big state of Maine.
All right. Yeah, welcome.
Yeah. Talk about trusted service. I'm policy chairman of the regional. I'm area ASR of Maine. Yeah. You want to talk about one busy person? Yeah. Maine. We've done a lot of growing in a short time. Our area of service is 2 years old. And we're already talking about splitting the state into another area of service. Probably be a couple of years down the road, maybe, or something like that. Yeah. It seems like there's a certain group of us that really come together and really work hard. And, you know, it took quite a while to get that started. The only way NA started in Maine was me and my roommate got tired of going to AA meetings and hearing the old timers say, we don't want to hear about drugs. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, we started an AA meeting. And that was 4 years ago. We started in our house. Today there's 25 to 30 in the state. Started from that. Maine is a pretty big area, and it's a lot of woods. But there's people way the heck up in the northern part of Maine, up in Van Buren, which is up in next thing to Canada, which there's only two or three of them. And you want to talk about good unity. This meeting's been going on for 3 years, and there's only two of them. we keep in touch with them. We try to keep in touch with a lot of things. We put on dances twice a month to raise money for NA. We sell T-shirts. This week we'll be having bumper stickers printed up. I'm saying that because I'm involved in the fundraising committee. And I have three roommates right now, and which are all program people, and we just keep working together. It's the unity part of the program, the service structure. We have a lot of problems. And do we have a lot of problems? And we had one guy go on TV and broke 9 traditions. And you want to talk about problems. But for some reason, it keeps people pull together and work. We have a few deadheads, but we usually give them a kick in the rear and they get going. Our regional is great. It seems like every time we go to regional, something gets accomplished. There's not too many conflicts. No, I don't see any personality conflicts in here. I shouldn't say I, we. Such. We are. And I've been working on this all winter. And it's coming together pretty good. And everything. I guess I talked long enough. Before I stop rambling, I'm going to quit. Thank you.
May I remind you all, we're talking about the second tradition. Billy?
Yeah, I'm an addict. My name's Bill.
Hi, Bill.
And, this is a good one because, I believe it talks about itself when it says for our group purpose, there is one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience, our leader, but to us the servants, they do not govern. And, I've been a servant since I come into Narcotics Anonymous. In the beginning, I was not that trusted. In the beginning, I was self-will run rampant and riot or whatever you want to call it. And I had my way. And since we were all lucky from this part of Virginia to Maine to be all at one time in the same region called the Mid-Atlantic, which I'm now a trusted servant of as a regional service representative, we've all been so... influenced at one time or another by our old style of banging fists on tables and getting ourselves heard, and there was no God involved in it. And it seemed like every time we left God intervene, and anytime someone said there's a group conscience issue and went back to the group conscience, we didn't have no problems with it. There was no arguing over it. And what I've been learning is a group conscience. What is a group conscience? I believe it's you, myself, and other members getting together at a group conscience meeting. And when do we hold them? It's usually before or after a regular group meeting. And that's what I've come to understand. A group conscience is not an area service conscience. A group conscience is my home, where I go to my home group and sit down in my home group conscience meeting, either before or after. And where the idea is we bring something onto the floor, and a lot of things have to come back a month later because it gives us time to think it over and to pray on it and to let the knowledge of God intervene. And it seems every time that the home group that I belong to lets the group conscience be involved in it and lets God. And I know I chaired a convention one time that it turned out pretty good, but a lot of the things that happened were 8-hour business meetings. And why? Because we didn't let group conscience intervene, because we argued. And the big part of it was that a lot of ego was involved in it. And this time I chaired another function. And the difference between chairmanship on both of these here was that one, my ego ran rampant in, and this one, I allowed the committees to do the work. And this one, when I went home from the committee meetings, I was feeling in tune. Because I went to area service, and I asked for direction from the groups, and we sent out from help from the region, and asked for the involvement of other membership to be involved. They asked the groups to participate. And when that happened, it left my ego go and left me serve. And being involved in the trusted servant, I believe my job is to take it back to the region which I serve, is to educate them and to give them that knowledge so they can take that back to the areas, and so the areas can take that back to the groups, and then the groups can be informed, and that they can cast a vote and write down some input and let me go to World Service Conference this year and carry their conscience. Don't ask me to go to World Service Conference and make decisions for you, because I may not be able to actually make decisions for you. I may make my decisions, and that does not make me a trusted servant at that point. That allows me to get my ego involved in it. And any time we get in the heat, which I saw last year, in the heat of an issue, I saw a lot of votes being casted and that weren't group conscience. And I heard a lot of controversy afterwards about it, and saying, well, who? One person made a motion, and they go back to their region. Their region would have never entrusted them with that motion to start with. But yet the region said, we allow you to make the decisions out there, and something really crazy comes up every year, and we seek that approval from our region to go out there, in which I'm not seeking the approval from the region to go out there and make decisions. I'm participating with the alternate and going through a lot of stuff and getting involved in it and giving them the knowledge and let them make the decisions. And if they want to make amendments, that's their business. If they want to abstain, that's their business. If they want me to have to study through all their input and try to come from a conscience from their input, that's their business. I have to carry that. And that's where they entrust me to serve. And trust me that I may go out there and get what they want. And to, if it's group conscience, to please, they entrust me to stand on the floor and ask me to make a decision to try to get that sent back for group conscience. It's a group conscience issue. And I know that we all have a conscience. And we have to dig deep down inside and find out through prayer and meditation on what the conscience says. And when the conscience speaks for itself, there's usually nothing that is disturbing the body. There's usually nothing controversial over conscience issues. It's usually, I can feel it in groups when I'm in them. I don't know, I feel it from my feet all the way up through my body, and it's, yeah, it's all right. And that's what happened this time up at our function we had last week and in Allentown. It was all right, because it was done with group conscience. With group conscience being involved. Before we put a bid in for it, we send it back to the group conscience. The groups wanted us to put a bid in for the function. And there was no controversy about us doing it. When we put a Fourth East Coast on, there was controversy because it was one person's ego who wanted a Fourth East Coast convention. And I was entrusted to be that one person, big ego. Made a lot of mistakes with it. And I had a whole area mad at me back then. And a whole area didn't get involved. We lost more people than we gained. And a lot of people got sick. A lot of people got high. And was it worth it? And I got to say, it's not worth it to have that happen. And so it's better if we seek that conscience of our group and get direction from our groups. No matter what level it is. The member is the most important. It's supposed to funnel down according to our service structure. And so it started the group conscience. Thank you.
I'd like to sum up this tradition with a couple of things. One is, I heard something weird a few minutes ago. I heard that some area had an inner group. I don't know what that is. This must be some form of sexual movement. I know about area service and regional service, and those are the things that are in our guidelines, and those are the things that I have to work by. Narcotics Anonymous is a God-given program, and we can maintain our group dignity only with group conscience and God's love. Some will resist. However, many will become the role models for newcomers to follow, while the self-seeking soon find they are on the outside, causing dissension and eventually disaster to themselves. Many of them change. They learn we can only be governed by a loving God, as He expressed in our group conscience. And what that tells me is I don't have the right to allow somebody to continue to serve when they're serving themselves. And when someone's doing that, it's time for somebody to take stand and say, "Hey man, I don't want to watch you die." I know today that I'm not in charge, because I don't have anything to be in charge with. I came here with nothing, and you people gave me everything. You gave me the ability to listen. You gave me the ability to perform mentally and emotionally and spiritually, and I didn't know how to do those things. So that tells me no matter how long I've been clean, I have to continue to listen. I have to continue to listen to the guy with one day as well as the guy or the woman with 400 years. Because everybody has something to say, and it's important, or it wouldn't come out. And even if I don't agree with it, you know, I can put it in my pocket and I can take it back. And maybe one day it might be some use to me. I would like to go on to the next tradition because we're really running out of time. And before I do it, I'd like to say one thing. There's probably the most abused group conscience is the group. I don't believe that I have ever been in a group yet before it got to area service to take a vote on something. They say, "We're going to have a group conscience after the meeting," and they announce it before the meeting. So after the meeting, 14 people go off in a corner and the secretary and the GSR do all the voting. And that's not group conscience. And then it comes back and something happens and everybody complains about, "Well, damn, what the hell is this about?" No, you've got to get involved in your group's conscience. If you sponsor somebody, you got to let them know how important it is that they get involved and know what the hell is going on, because this is their program. And if they don't know what their program's doing, they're going to get lost. Because without the 12 traditions, there's no way they're going to stay clean, because there won't be Narcotics Anonymous around for them to do it. And I have to look at that every day. And I show up in groups and people say, "Are you a member? Are you a member of this home? Is this your home group?" And I said, "No." They said, "Well, you can't vote." And I said, "Is this Narcotics Anonymous?" And they said, "Yeah." I said, "I'll vote where the hell I want to. I'm a dope fiend, I'm a member of NA, and this has to do with me, and I'll vote. And I may travel to 50 groups and vote." Some people agree with that, some people don't. But I believe that if I'm there for a reason. And I'm there to carry what I believe is right for me through the conscience of my own mind as availed to me by my higher power. And sometimes I'll vote in a meeting, or sometimes I may just say something. But you know, nobody can tell me what I have to do or can't do. Now, I can raise my hand, they don't have to count it. But at least I have the right to have the dignity to raise my fucking hand. And I will. And I'll continue to. And I'll continue to be wrong. And once in a great while, maybe once every 4 years, I'll do something that's right. And that'll be okay. Because I'll still be learning. Third tradition says the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. I didn't get a flyer in the mail asking me to join. Nobody sent me an application. Nobody checked my credentials. Nobody asked me, "Well, what'd you major in?"
Fucking up.
I work in the field of addiction, and I've worked in it for the 10 years I've been clean. and I had this intellectual puke with all these chains of degrees and stupidity. Sit down at a table over coffee one day, and she says, "Well, what did you major in?" I said, "Pool hall, study hall, drugs, and alcohol." And I went to the university of You Ain't Been There. Now, this is Narcotics Anonymous. I work in the field because that's a different deal. And I get real pissed off sometimes because I see people come in, there's about 400 treatment centers will bring all their people to a meeting. And they all sit in there, and this goes into the sixth tradition also. And when my name is Billy Bob Ray, and I'm at so-and-so treatment center. And then 400 other people say the same thing. And if the newcomer's sitting there and say, "Wow, well, I can't come to Narcotics Anonymous unless I go to treatment." You know, that's the only requirement for membership. Like, if you got to first go through detox and then through treatment and pay $4,000 or $6,000, or if you get a good program, $20,000, you know, and then I can get real well. I'm not knocking treatment, it's my living. But I don't bring it into Narcotics Anonymous.
Amen.
I don't sit in meetings and tell people where the fuck I work. I'm not here because of where I work. I'm here to save my simple ass. And the only requirement for me to be there isn't how much I make or where I work. It's to have a desire to stop using. And I have a continued desire not to ever pick up again. And that's why I'm there. It's not what's your full name. It's not what's your mama's name. Or you have a right to be here because you have a right to be here because you want to be here. And no matter whether your choice of drugs was alcohol, glue, suppositories, it don't make a shit. Yeah. I know one lady liked to smoke tampons. It was her thing. They put her in a nut house for it, but she finally made it to NA. She no longer picks up, she sticks up. What can I say? Sorry. Those are her words. I won't tell you her name, but those are her words. She's my spiritual advisor. It doesn't matter who you are, who your mama is, where you come from, what you believe in, don't believe in, what color you are, whether you believe in God, don't believe in God, or don't believe in God and trying like hell not to when you're hanging around the meetings. I was agnostic when I got here, trying like hell to be an atheist because I knew if there was a God, I was screwed. And it was that simple. And you people told me that I didn't have to believe in any of those things were not a requirement for me to be here. All I had to do was have a desire not to pick up. Now, I have never seen anybody walk around to anybody in a meeting. "Do you want to come to these meetings?" "Yeah." "Do you really have a desire?" Nobody goes around and checks people out. You know, I really believe that people have a desire because they show up. You know, that's an inside job tradition. And it's not for me to question anybody else. It's for me to question myself. I don't have to ask, does somebody else have a desire to be here? Because that's inside them. I don't know and can't know. There's no way I can figure that out or question it except for the fact that they're here. The only one I can question is me. And that's what that tradition tells me. Now, I've had people tell me that I couldn't come to meetings because I was the secretary and ripped off the treasury. It doesn't say that in this tradition. It doesn't say the only requirement for membership is not to spend the treasurer's money. It doesn't say that. It says the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using. Although I lost my position as treasurer, and that was 5 or 6 years ago, and somebody asked me a few months ago, "Would you like to be treasurer of this group?" "No, thank you." Sticky fingers. And I make damn good money. But still, if I was a treasurer, if I didn't have the cash in my pocket and everybody wanted to go out to eat, I'd spend it. Thinking it's okay, I'll replace it later.
the desire to stop using is a requirement. But there's no way that we can forcibly stop that. That also means that I've seen people say, well, if you're holding, take it outside. If you're here for your first meeting and you're using, don't say nothing. I don't have the right to tell somebody they can't say something. I have a right to go sit down and hold their hand if they get out of order, or take them outside and talk to them if they're disrupting the group, in a loving and caring way for their self and for their life, and try to help the individual. But I don't have a right to tell somebody to shut up and get out of the meeting because they're messed up. It does not say that the only requirement for membership is to stop using. I came to meetings for 2 years fucked up. And if somebody would have told me I couldn't come because I was messed up, then I wouldn't be here. I had a desire. It didn't tell me I had to stop. So that tradition tells me if you want to come to meetings, you can come high if you got a desire not to. I don't know why that fits in like that for me, but it does. And I've seen a lot of people come to meetings messed up. And I'm glad to see those people. I'm glad every time I see them. There's no way I can say, well, when you get 4 years clean, come on back to the meetings. It's like a 12-step call. I've heard in other programs, you can't talk through the bottle. I don't go on 12-step calls for other people. I go for me. I go to see myself in action so I can continue to have the desire not to use. And if that person gets well, it's by the grace of God, not by the grace of me. And that's what I have to remember. You know, I show up for me. I don't show up for other people. Hopefully, sometimes I may say something real bright, which is doubtful, that may help somebody. And whenever I ever talk, I always say a prayer to my higher power, say through me the things that I need to hear that's going to help me grow. Don't say through me the things that I'm going to impress somebody with. You know, and I got a weird sense of humor. And some people don't understand it, but I grow from it. Not in leaps and bounds, but little by little. It says that this tradition is important for both the individual and the group. Desire is the key word. Desire is the basis of our recovery. In our stories and in our experience of trying to carry the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers, one painful fact of life emerged again and again. An addict who does not want to stop using will not stop using. They can be analyzed, counseled, reasoned with, prayed over, threatened, beaten, locked up, or whatever, but they will not stop until they want to stop. The only thing we ask our members is that they have this desire. Without it, they are doomed, but with it, miracles will happen. And I'd like to turn it over to my panel. Thank you.
Yeah, my name's Greg. I'm an addict.
Hi, Greg.
And at first glance, I think the third tradition seems real straightforward, but I think there's some cans of worms that have remained unaddressed. Little things like a quarter to a third of our members being second-class members. Little things like that. You know, we don't really think much about the third tradition until somebody walks in belligerent, loaded, demanding to monopolize the group. Or someone walks in from a local religious organization to convert us. And says, you see, but I'm an addict. You know, sometimes I'm not a member of NA. When I'm all caught up in self and isolation, am I a member of NA? You know, I've got some funny feelings about that. You know, what about those times when I don't give a rat's ass about anybody else? When our common welfare doesn't come first, it's my insanity that comes first. When I'm so caught up in self that I'm incapable, you know, of being a part of recovery, you know, when I'm living in the illness. You know, that's a real funny question. I liked a lot of what was said. I think staying clean is a measure, personally think staying clean is a measure of desire. It's kind of like that old thing, don't tell me how good you're doing, show me by the way you live. You know, how do you measure desire? You know, is a person in a prison who's been going to meetings every week for 3 years, is he a member? If so, why doesn't he have a say with what goes on in the fellowship? Why isn't their group conscience taken in an institutional meeting? Why aren't those feelings expressed? We have a whole lot of second class members. How about the member who has to take medication? Are they a full-fledged member of NA? They have... Well, it's one thing if you have heart disease and have to take digitalis. Then there's another class that have chemical imbalances, let's say, but mental diseases which require medication. Of course, there's another class that have to take methadone, so they say. And then there's another class who, and so on and so forth. What about these people? You know, what is membership? You know, what does that entitle me to? It entitles me to survive, I know, but above and beyond that, does it entitle me to be a part of? And if it entitles me to be a part of, you know, how come when someone walks in here and abuses the fellowship and continues to abuse the fellowship, we shun them? We say, hey, you know, come back some other time. You know, there's a whole set of real important questions that we haven't talked about yet, that haven't come up yet, tied in with this third tradition, that I think are just so important. A lot is talked about setting aside our differences, that it doesn't matter where we come from, you know, age, race, color, creed, religion, or lack of religion, you know, that whole gamut of things. A lot is said about that. A lot is said about that. But not much is talked about membership. You know, we have that saying, you're a member when you say you're a member. Is that true?
I'm a member.
Is it true? No, I think it depends on where you're at and which meeting you happen to be going to. No. These questions are going to become pivotal questions. They're going to become very important to our continued growth. I don't think we've really looked at them yet. That's all. Thank you.
My name is Kermit, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Kermit.
Clean today through the grace of God and Narcotics Anonymous. Well, I like to listen to Greg because he makes you think, and I appreciate that. I really, you know, I think that the other people up here said what I was thinking, I'll just reiterate that I do think it's real important to let anybody speak in a meeting, you know, whether they're loaded or not. That's the newcomer, the most important person at any meeting. I'd like to listen to other people. Thank you.
If you've already been up, I'd appreciate it if we could get some people who haven't been up, because we've only got a few minutes left.
am Don. I'm an addict.
Hi,
family. You know, I just wanted to get up here and say about this third tradition that I owe my life to it. You know, when I first got to an NA meeting in the early 70s, a couple of years out of the joint, I didn't have that requirement for membership. I did not desire to stop using. I desired to stop using, but I didn't really want to quit. And it took a lot of years later, a dozen years later, for me to come up with the desire to stop using. And I came in and y'all told me it didn't matter that I wanted to quit using heroin but not speed. Y'all told me it didn't matter whether I bought it or sold it. Y'all told me the only thing that mattered was that I wanted to quit, that I'd heard enough. And without that, I wouldn't be alive today. I just wanted to come up and say, because of the third tradition, I am alive today. Thank God, and thank you. That's all.
Thank you, Don. I can identify with that, because when I got here, the only desire I had was for the pain to go away, and I knew if I quit using, the pain wasn't going to go away. I just wanted to figure out how to get rid of the pain and use and get on with my life, or really get on with my death. Anybody else?
Hi, I'm Chris. I'm a really sick recovering addict.
Hi, Chris.
I just wanted to thank Marty for what you had to say about desire to stop using. I've been coming around for 2 years now with the desire, and just have today as being clean. Makes a big difference. Also, I called up someone last night and asked when the dance was tonight. And I said 8 o'clock, so I got here at 8. And fortunately, I got here in time for the first three traditions. I needed to hear a lot of what was said tonight. I know I have the desire, like on the way over here, I was really nervous, and I thought, well, I'm just going to do some Valium, and I'll be all right for the rest of the evening. But I didn't, and I know it's good to be here. I need to start going to meetings. I've had personality problems, and I don't know, listening to a lot of what's been said tonight, I really need to hear, and I thank you all very much. That's it.
Coming back. The meeting was supposed to start at 6:30. And when there was nobody here, I said, the chairs don't need to hear the traditions. And it's that simple. I said, why don't we wait a while and people start showing up for the dance? And then they can dance around the traditions. The other girl who stood up? Yeah.
Hello, my name is Tina, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Tina.
I have 17 days clean. I'm not much of a public speaker. I get very nervous. But I just wanted to say that I'm grateful for a group of people that asked me to come back after one meeting. I've only been to 2 so far, so it's a big start for me, and I'm looking forward to recovery.
All right.
Thank you. That's what I call a desire, willing to come up here when you've never done it before. Keep coming back.
Anybody else?
John, I'm an addict. The only requirement for membership is desire to stop using. I myself have had desire off and on for the last 13 years. I took my will back each time I came around to fellowships. Today I am clean 17 days. In October, I moved from an area that had 15 to 16 meetings in it and moved into an area that had 3 meetings in it. So I am on the road again, traveling, doing what I have to do to maintain being clean. And it works. That's all I have. Thank you.
We have time for one more. Charlie. Well, after that, because every time I ask for somebody, after somebody raises his hand, one person keeps getting it halfway up.
There he is, sicker than me.
He's my sponsor. I'm Charlie Willis, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Charlie.
You know, Greg, I guess, Greg, is that your name? You pointed out something I was sitting there thinking about. We formed the area service. I'm from this area right here. We formed the area service. One of our first orders of business was to take care of somebody that was running a meeting that was on methadone. And, you know, that was our first order of business, was a tradition violation. I never really looked at that until sitting here listening. And the reason it was a tradition violation was because we took it upon ourselves to go in and tell this person they couldn't come to meetings anymore because they were on methadone. It wasn't that they couldn't come to meetings, they were running a meeting that nobody else would run. They kept the meeting going for a year. But because of that person's desire to stop using, he's clean today. He's not on methadone. He's clean. You know, that tradition leaves the door open. It makes it possible for any one of us to go out, come back, go out, come back, until they can finally get it to where they can stay clean a day at a time. You know, so many times I've been a part of this, and I've been on both ends of this, where there's been people ostracized because of the way they, something they say in a meeting, the way they look, you know, the way they, you know, the way they work their program. You know, we have no right there. We have no right whatsoever. You know, that's why we have this tradition, so that anybody can come into these rooms. And all they have is that desire to stay clean, because, you know, I was not one of those that came in the first time and got it. You know, I was in and out for about 2 years. And if it hadn't been for that, I wouldn't be here today. Because I can remember, I can compare it to when I was in high school and they had the fraternities. You know, you want to get into a fraternity, so you have to do all these things for membership. You know, they got Hell Week where you got to do all, you know, do crazy ass stuff. You know, I've come into this fellowship and I've probably broken every tradition we have, you know, and probably made some up and broken them too. And I'm still here today and I'm clean today because of that one tradition. Because I've had a desire to stop using. And, you know, I think that all the traditions are very, very important. And I think what it says in the basic text about the traditions not being negotiable is something that we overlook a whole lot, you know, and these traditions aren't negotiable, and without them we wouldn't have a fellowship. Thank you. Thank you, Charlie.
You.
Finally.
My name is Mike and I'm an addict.
Hi, Mike.
You have to excuse my voice for shaking. I never talk like this. I guess that's okay. I came in here and I was doing bullshit just like everybody else. And I've noticed when people speak, when the, you know, not everybody, some people do, some people don't. It's just that some people seem like, seeing how I've done all this, you know, I'm in worse shape than you, so you don't have as much to worry about. I believe that we're all here for the same thing. I don't care if you drink beer or if you shoot D's. And it's really evident, I see it. But, you know, I learned to, I just
basically look over that. I've been put down for things I've done. I have a problem with putting myself down sometimes. But, you know, I try my best to work the program to my best capabilities. And I think that as long as everyone does their best and works in the way they see them and listen to their sponsor, I don't see how they can really go wrong. Because, you know, it's like an elevator. You can get off whenever. I didn't have to end up where I was. I'm glad I'm here now instead of on 23rd Street. Because every time I drive through Phoebus, I still think about it, but at least I know I'm not stopping over at my buddy's house, so to speak, buddy, anyway. I guess he did get me here. Because with him, he taught me that I really was an addict. And a couple more people in here, they really helped me out a lot. That's all I have. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
The choice of membership rests with the individuals. We feel the ideal state for our fellowship exists when addicts can come freely and openly to an NA meeting, whenever and wherever they choose, and leave just as freely if they want. We realize that recovery is a reality and that life without drugs is better than we ever imagined. We open our doors to addicts hoping they can find what we have found, knowing only those who have a desire to stop using and want what we have to offer would join us in our way of life. I would like to thank the committee, Kermit, for asking me to share this evening. There goes the tradition. Seriously. I'd like to thank y'all for allowing me to be here. I'd like to thank y'all for allowing me to be here time and time again, even when you didn't want to hear what I had to say. And these type of meetings, area meetings, regional meetings, group meetings, coffee meetings after the meetings. You know, I'd see people take off out the door, little cliques of people taking off out the door going to get coffee. And I'd follow those bastards. Because I knew they were going to be talking about me and I wanted to hear what it was. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad you're here. If you didn't get a chance to share, don't be discouraged. You got a whole weekend to do it. Sooner or later, you'll get to say your piece. I can remember going to meetings and conventions and raising my hand every damn time, and nobody called on me. And I went up to somebody one time after a meeting. I said, "Why didn't you call on me?" He said, "It wasn't your turn." And when your higher power thinks it's your turn, that's when you'll get called on. I said, "That's a crock of shit. He's been right for 10 years. Yeah. I've always had to wait my turn, and sometimes I didn't like it, and sometimes if I really had to say something, I stood up instead of raising my hand, and then I really got noticed. And then I couldn't say nothing. Hard to believe, but true. I would like to thank you all for being here. I think it's very important to the welfare of Narcotics Anonymous that we continue to grow and continue to learn who and what we are about. And that's what this is all about this weekend, to find out who's really in charge, and it's none of us. It's the God of our own understanding, as he may express himself in a group conscience. And I'd like to thank Earl and his compadre for being here with us. For some reason, he always shows up. He's trying to get a job. Are there any announcements?
Dan.
Oh, everybody already knows about that. That's what it came. Right after this, as soon as they get cleaned up and set up, the dance will start. And as you have your agenda, the first thing in the morning at 7 a.m. to 9:30 p.m., the Great Gatsby breakfast. 7 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. they're going to have breakfast? That is a typo. And at 1 a.m. at 1 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. in the roof garden, traditions 4, 5, and 6. That's going to be a long meeting. Another typo. Sooner or later, we'll figure out why we're here. We have a nice way of closing. I wish you'd join us. Thank you.
in heaven, and give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation.